We are at the Springer Mountain Farms Grill, Little Campfire Confessionals. Today we're with Daniel Doyle. Daniel is the chef owner of Pugin's Porch and Pugin's Smokehouse. Let me tell you a little about Daniel. Born in Virginia, grew up in North Carolina. So there's some barbecue sauce in your blood.
Yes, sir.
Daniel has been invited to cook up in New York at the James Beard House on numerous occasions. He's also competed in Chopped back in 2015. How'd you do? What happened there?
Well, I actually had the April Fool's episode, so everything was made to look like something it wasn't.
Okay.
So it was a little bit tricky. You know, it's a tricky show in general, but...
Is it as crazy...
Well, yeah.
On the air as it looks on TV?
Yeah, it was wild. You know, like things were supposed to be like chicken wings, but it was Rice Krispie treats.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It was an interesting time. I made it to the second round and then made a big mistake with some green beans that were actually fondant. And yeah, it was an interesting time.
Listen, at least you got through the first round.
Yeah.
All right, so Daniel has a couple of restaurants in Charleston. We are down at the food festival. Daniel's sort of been around the Charleston market for a while. One of the things that you do, and talk to me a little about it, is you go out of your way to source meats, produce, grains from local farms and surrounding areas.
Well, I mean, what we try to do is, you know, use what the low country is abundant. You know, when it's in season, try to use everything you can. You know, when certain fish are swimming this area, field peas, heirloom tomatoes, you know,
so there's tons of stuff that's indigenous to this
area. Yeah, and you try to use
that. Plus what pops up seasonally.
Exactly. So you try to use everything you can. And, you know, Pugin's Porch is, you know, the longest standing family-owned restaurant in the city. So we try to keep the heritage alive and what it's always been, you know.
So I was going to ask why it's so important. One answer is to keep the heritage alive.
Yeah, you want to
support local.
And pay homage to what this area is. You know, I think a lot of people... I've been doing it for a while, but what we try to do is, you know, fit it into our concept as well.
And I guess you're kind of lucky, because if you were in the middle of Montana, I don't know if you have the cornucopia of stuff here. So there's a lot of, you know, from the ocean.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, I mean, the Pugin's Porch is pretty much a seafood restaurant with local, you know, produce thrown in there with it. That's basically what the restaurant is. It's a low country, classic low country restaurant.
Right. So Pugin's Porch has been around how long?
Since 1977 or 6.
That long?
Yeah, since I was 2. Yeah.
And what about Pugin's Smokehouse?
Much later. Pugin's Smokehouse opened in October of 2015.
I didn't realize it was that recent.
Yeah, we also were in the process of building another restaurant out in Somerville, which is about 20 minutes outside the city. And we have an event space that's coming online called Pugin's Courtyard here in the next month or so.
Very cool. So, if people want more information, they can always go to Google Pugin's or go to...
Yeah, it's events@pugins.com.
Okay.
And they can get you with all the information for the event space, what we do in the restaurants. You know,
right?
All that stuff.
All right, so I came across something that made me curious. You spent time with cookbook author Nathalie Dupré.
Yes.
You were researching, which was what we were just talking about, what specifically Charleston cuisines look like as compared to other Southern cuisine. So I'm curious, you know, what the consensus of what you came up with.
Well, you know, the reason why we're doing that was doing that James Beard dinner, and I was invited to do a Charleston Christmas. And I knew what a Southern Christmas was.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, we were just going back and paying homage to the thing, all kind of dishes and stuff like that. It's so much information. It was pretty much like a cornucopia of information as well. I mean, we were talking about...
Tell me some interesting findings. I mean, what...
Well, I mean, you know, really what I found out was that it was just using indigenous ingredients as well, like oysters when they're in season, you know, which peas you should use, not just using black-eyed peas, using, you know, pink lady field peas.
And so you got deep into everything.
Yeah, I mean, she went, like, it was a deep dive. I could have sat there for 8-9 hours.
Right.
And still probably wouldn't have been able to get as much information as she was willing to share.
So you just said something and clear it up for me as an oyster eater. Are oysters seasonal or...
Well, they are.
Is there a window when they're the most
abundant? You know, around here, you know, you want to say that it's usually on, you know, months with ER. So, you know, October, November, December, January, February is pretty good. But it starts around February is when you should really, you know, local oysters not as good. And when the water's colder, you know what I mean?
Right.
There's a lot of...
Good to know. That's why I asked.
A lot of temperature. Now, if you're talking about up in the Chesapeake area and, you know, up towards Canada and stuff, and the water stays colder much longer, so which in turn, the oyster season is much longer.
Right,
and so
right.
And so
it varies, obviously,
yeah,
geographically.
As you go up, it changes.
Right. We are at the Springer Martin Farms Grill, and Daniel is making a crap load of chicken wings.
Yeah.
So you opened, you said you opened Pugin's Smokehouse a few years ago. I think you can help us, the amateur barbecue guy. Just give us some basic tips. Just general barbecuing. Like, don't do this or do this or here's what.
Well, I mean, I could give you the classic ones, you know, slow and low.
Give me the classic one.
You know, always
cook slow and low. Explain
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Well, you don't, you know, when you're barbecuing, you want to cook long periods of time with low heat. You know, I usually smoke things in between 225 and no more than 240 degrees. So, like, with ribs, you want to, you know, do a nice dry rub, let them smoke slow, 5-6 hours.
So,
You know, whole hog, 13, 14 hours.
Low heat,
long
slow,
time.
Long time.
And also,
now,
good meat helps.
Let's apply that to the backyard barbecue guy that may have a Weber.
Yeah.
So you could turn the Weber down to 225.
Yeah.
Maybe turn the middle burners off.
Yeah.
Tell me how I could barbecue some ribs or...
Well, I mean, you could do that. Like a Big Green Egg does the same thing.
Right.
You know, and you could, you know, just smoke slow and less, you know, less charcoal, less... And just let it keep on going and keep on stoking that fire. You just don't want it to rise up too much above 250. When it starts getting in that range, it starts to caramelize on the outside, and then you know, the meat starts to toughen and things like that.
So don't be intimidated.
No.
Even the home barbecuer could do that.
It can be done.
Low heat, slow, doesn't have to be direct. Be patient.
Exactly.
All right.
You know, and just have fun while you're doing it. I think that's half the thing, too.
What about... dry rub versus wet rub?
Well, I do a little bit of both, so I don't, I you know, and
but
so,
if you had to pick one,
I'd say dry personally.
Okay.
But see, but we would, yeah, but you know what I usually do, like say if I'm doing pork butts or ribs or whatever, I would salt them first for 24 hours.
Okay.
Just like, you know, lightly salt,
right?
So it starts to bring, you know, the juices out and starts like giving some flavor to the meat and so on and so on. And then I would dry rub and then smoke.
All right, give me at least 5 necessary ingredients to a dry rub.
Okay, well, all right. Let me think. Salt.
Pepper.
Right.
What are at least 3 I can't go without?
Well, I like a little bit of paprika.
Paprika?
I like a little tiny bit of cayenne.
Cayenne gives
just
a little kick.
A little kick to it. Not a lot, but a little bit. And then... I actually use a little teensy bit of brown sugar, and not much,
okay,
but a little bit.
Caramelization?
Yeah, just to give it some bark.
Okay.
Not a lot.
Right.
Because you're not trying to make sugar-cured meat.
So
it's
that
really tricky, but...
You're off to a good start, at least, with that.
Yeah.
All right, one more barbecue question. If we're going wet, I'm assuming you go North Carolina? I mean, what kind of sauce? White, red,
I mean,
sweet?
Wow. If I'm going that way, I would go... Probably red.
Red
sweet, probably.
But isn't Carolina more of a vinegar?
Well,
or
it depends on what region, you know?
Okay.
Like Lexington, North Carolina is going to be more of a red, and then Eastern North Carolina is going to be more of a vinegar. So if I'm, you know, but if I'm doing, it depends on what meat I'm doing, too.
Right.
If I'm doing whole hog.
But I'm not talking about the meat. I'm talking about your preference.
Oh, if I'm personal preference. Oh, I let the chefy part of me answer that question.
I would say
vinegar.
Vinegar.
Purple,
okay.
You know,
that's what I thought.
Yeah. Spicy vinegar.
He threw a curveball at
yeah.
me.
Yeah. I mean, I thought you meant like, what would I cook for the
masses?
No,
no, no. Just what your preference is.
Yeah, my preference would be vinegar, for sure.
So, Pugin's been around Charleston a long time.
Yes, sir.
Your observations, say the last 10, 15 years, how has the restaurant scene changed? What have you observed? I mean, what are the most
well,
obvious
you know,
things to
you? The restaurant has evolved a good bit in the city. You know, the trend is a lot of people coming to town from other areas and trying to open up things in their own cuisine here. And I think there's some people that's been super successful with it and others that have not. But the one thing that I will say about this area, too.
Wait, nobody's listening. It's just you and me.
Yeah.
When people come from the outside, do you resent that or you welcome that?
Well, no. Well, it depends. Depends on how they act when they come. You know what I mean?
Right.
Well, like some people show up are pretty cool people, and it's no big deal. I think you know, the more the merrier. I think people that show up with a different take on the restaurant game and different things is great. If you show up and think you're going to do what Charleston's known for better and act that way, then that's, it could be a problem.
So one thing is people are coming from out of town to open up. What are some of the other changes you've noticed?
It's super competitive. You have to be on your game, and you got to pay attention to what you're doing. You know, it's, you can't rest on your laurels. You want to make sure that you're understanding the trends and stay on trend, but at the same time, staying true to what you are and what your concept is.
In the long run, that's really what matters.
You know what I mean? You know, especially with like Pugin's Porch, it's been there for 40 some years, and you want to make sure that the people that can come and understand what you are.
Right.
You don't want to lose sight.
Be true to your
of
mission.
If you're going to do a crab cake, just do the best damn crab cake you can do.
Right.
You know, if you're going to do oysters, make sure that they're good and have good salinity. You know what I mean? Like if you're...
No, I think that's the most important thing.
I think a lot of people get lost in really what's really going on.
All right, so last question. I do a weekly wine show on Heritage Radio Network. So I couldn't let you go without you telling me, when you're not working or you're hanging out,
what am I drinking?
Forget beer, forget booze.
What am I drinking?
When you're drinking wine, what are you drinking?
Wow, probably I'd say a cab more often than not.
A cab? You like a bigger, heavier one?
Well, my parents have been big wine connoisseurs my whole life.
So you were around them.
Yeah.
But you're not a huge wine guy.
No, but...
All right, so then what's your drink of choice?
Oh, wow. Bourbon, but I would say a bourbon and ginger if I'm going to go like a mixed drink.
All right.
Like, you know, or bourbon and water.
Sounds like it goes well with ribs.
Yeah, it does. But, you know, beer too.
Yeah, I figured beer.
Yeah.
All right, one last thing. We've been standing in front of the grill for a little while.
Yeah.
Low temperature for a long time. So low and slow. Am I done yet?
Yeah.
I mean, I think I'm done. So.
Yeah.
All right, we've been talking to Daniel Doyle. Daniel is the proprietor of Pugin's Porch, kind of a Charleston institution, and he opened Coogan Smokehouse. We want to thank Springer Mountain Farms for letting us have a little chat at our campfire confessionals. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network at the Charleston Wine and Food Festival. Thank you, Daniel.
Thanks, everybody. I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please, join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.